Today on Way of Warrior, I want to give you three ways to help you reach your goals and guide you towards success, not just in this new year, not just in this day, but today and every day for the rest of your life. Have you ever made a New Year's resolution on December 30th and by January 3rd, given up? Have you ever made goals and not followed through on them? Have you ever ended one year knowing that things need to change and roll into the new year wanting to change, and then once in the new year, forgetting to change? Have you ever started the new year with change in your heart? Not leftover change, not the leftover change that you're not sure what to do with, but change that makes this new year far better than the last. Change that is inspired and driven by desire and not only by need. Change that excites you to become the person this year that you wanted to become. Number one, be emotionally involved. Be emotionally connected. What's in it for you? We all wear a hat, WIIFM. What's in it for me? In sales, we say sell the sizzle, not the steak. Emotions move people. The word is motivate. It's the ability to move people, and that's what leaders do. We must learn how to move ourselves because we are a people. Things that happen to us that are really important, guess what? We have emotions attached to them. So number one, I'm going to teach you how to be emotionally connected and why it matters. Number two, prepare yourself for success. In other words, you got to set up your environment. And number three, begin with the end in mind. In other words, as you're going to hear me describe it, you got to make it real. So let's begin this journey, and let's be honest, one of the only constants in life is change, because one of the constants in life is that everything is changing. And at Way of Warrior, we call it being under construction. Being under construction is about getting better incrementally. It's about change, improving our marriage, improving our business relationships, improving ourselves. Everything is about change. Everything is changing from the day we were born. It is about change. Even God meets us where we're at. He doesn't wait for us to change, but he doesn't leave us where we're at. He guides us through change. Change is also about habits and things that are hard to change. But in order to reach our identity, we are called to change. We are working to change behavior. We might call that a habit. And a habit is something that we started consciously doing and now we continue to do, but it's only now at the unconscious level. And as James Clear says in his books, Atomic Habits, habits are a double-edged sword. They can work for you or against you, which is why understanding the details is essential. Clear says in his book, small changes often appear to make no difference until you cross a critical threshold. The most important, powerful outcomes of any compounding process are delayed. This is why we must have a plan and must figure out how to trick the body and mind system that allows for change to take place deeply, permanently, and if possible, easily. An atomic habit, Clear says, is a little habit that is part of a larger system. Just as atoms are the building blocks of molecules, atomic habits are the building blocks of remarkable results. And so it makes sense if we want better results, then we must forget about setting goals and focus on our system. And that today is what I want to give you, a simple system. Because as we know, we do not rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems. And so today, let's create a system that allows you to have a greater new year than last. Let's create a system that allows you not only to set goals, but accomplish goals. Let's create a system that allows you power, freedom, and control. And the way we do this is we examine ourselves. It was Aristotle who said, an unexamined life is not worth living. It was Paul that said, examine yourselves to see if you're still in the faith. We must live a life of introspection. And introspection is driven by resolve and willpower. And I'm going to tell you right now, willpower is not enough. Determination and resilience frequently prove insufficient. Don't get me wrong, they're needed, but it's through commitment that we accomplish great things. So willpower is overrated. Commitment requires power. It requires fortitude, and it requires the ability to be persistent, to never quit. to get knocked on your butt and to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and hit it again. How many times do you get up? Well, that's easy. One more time, then you are knocked down. There's a good book out there that says, a righteous man will stumble seven times but get back up, but the wicked will stumble into ruin. What type of person are you willing to become? And the cool thing about it is I've learned in studying people for almost 40 years is there are hacks. There are ways to manipulate our situation so that we can trigger or activate an inner drive. And today, that's what I'm sharing with you. The top three ways to activate your inner warrior to help you reach your goals and guide you towards success. These three actions will ingrain your change into your head and your heart and will allow for your mind body to do what it does best. And that is win. So these things called New Year's resolutions. Well, think about the word resolute, resolve. Resolution's base word is resolve. So two words I want to get into real quick is resolve and assert. To resolve means to settle or find a solution to a problem, dispute, or contentious matter. Sound familiar? To resolve is to decide firmly on a course of action. To resolve is firm determination to do something. So as we start this new year, you should have resolved to find a solution to some things that weren't serving you well in the past, to decide firmly on a course of action to become who you want to be instead of who you used to show up as. It is a resolve, that firm determination to do something different. Why? Because Einstein said it best, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You are a new creation. It is a new year, and you are not crazy. But I would assert that today is the first day of the rest of your lives. So what does the word assert mean? Assert, to state a fact or belief confidently and forcefully. Cause others to recognize one's authority or right by confident and forceful behavior. Notice those two words keep coming back. Confident and forceful. Are you ready to go in the new year confident and resourceful? Assert. To behave or speak in a confident and forceful manner. When you have confidence and you're forceful, I would say those are powerful resources. And the great book by Gary Bishop called Un-F Yourself. Gary leads you through seven assertions. And I love these assertions. He says, I am willing. I am wired to win. I got this. I embrace the uncertainty. I am not my thoughts. I am what I do. I am relentless. I expect nothing and accept everything. So before we even get in the list of three things, I'm going to suggest that it's time to live intentionally. It's time to get up with a purpose. It's time to go to bed with a purpose. It's time for everything that you do to have a purpose. And we got to ask ourselves, am I willing? I could give you the perfect three things that you need to do to be your dreams. But if you're not willing, then what good is it? Are you willing? And do you believe that you're wired to win? Can you embrace the uncertainty? Because change is all about uncertainty. And do you realize that your thoughts, you have about 18,000 of them, they create chemicals in our body. They release chemicals in our body. And those chemicals make us feel. We got to realize we are not our thoughts and we are not our feelings. But we do become what we do most often. And do you realize that you're relentless? Are you willing to make that commitment? Are you willing to resolve to be relentless? That even if you get knocked on your butt, to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, hit again and again and again and again? And are you willing to expect nothing and accept everything? So we got to go into this thing with the right mindset. You got to believe that it's possible. If you go into setting new goals and say, hey, I've never done it before, it's a waste of my time, then it is a waste of your time. We act accordingly. We act as if we are a three-part entity. You have a body that has rules. You got to learn the rules. It's a machine. You have a brain, and the brain runs the body, and the battle is in the mind, and you're a spirit. You got to know this is not about willpower. Matter of fact, there's a study, a 2011 study published in the journal Personality and Social Psychology. It tracked 205 people for 1 week in Germany. The study participants were given, phones, smartphones. And those smartphones would go off at random, asking them questions about the desires, temptations, self-control they were experiencing in the moment. And in the process, they stumbled onto a paradox. The people who are the best at self-control, the ones who most readily agreed to survey statements like, I am good at resisting temptations, reported fewer temptations throughout the study period. In other words, the people who said they excelled at self-control, ready for this, were the ones that had to use it least. More recently, the gentleman who did this study confirmed and expanded on this idea in their study. They monitored 159 students at McGill University in Canada. If resisting temptation is a virtue, then more resistance should lead to greater achievements, right? But here's what stunned. That's not what the results were. The results published in the journal Social, Psychological, and Personality Science found, ready for this? The students who exerted more self-control were not more successful in accomplishing the goals. It was the students who experienced fewer temptations overall who were more successful when the researchers checked back at the end of the semester. In other words, it was more about the environment. What's more, the people who exercised more effortful self-control also reported feeling worn out, tired. So double-edged sword, not only were they not meeting their goals, but they were exhausted just making effort in the resistance. So if you think about it, habits are things you started doing consciously and then continued doing them unconsciously, right? So if we're working to make the new year a great new year, then we're most likely having to deal with something called change. This brings us full circle. You want to change behavior. In other words, you want to stop doing something you're doing or to install new behavior. So no matter what your desire, if you want more out of yourself in this new year, then we need some understanding. How do we do what we do? If you're going to use this body, this mind to its ultimate use, we must understand what it was created to do. So you can accomplish more by focusing on less. I mean, let's be honest. Are you tired? Are you depleted? Are you not sure if it's even worth setting new goals? Are you helpless and hopeless? Or are you excited about the new year and the new opportunities? Do you want to make the most out of this bright new year? Well, wherever you are, I want to give you a gift today. I want to give you some hope, some inspiration, some understanding of how you can become more this year than you were last year. The three steps, I want to break them down for you. Number one, to be emotionally connected, to be emotionally involved. It's time to activate the heart. The heart is the power source. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's so critically important because we walk around numb. We walk around dead. We walk around detached emotively from so much in life. We have two ways to reason. We can do it intellectually and we can do it emotionally. We can do it intuitively or logically. And we are emotive creatures. We connect with people emotionally. In order to accomplish our dreams, we need to be emotionally involved with our lives. And if we're not emotionally involved with our lives, then who can be? It is often said that people don't remember what you said to them. They remember how you made them feel. The emotion comes from the heart. This is not an intellectual experience. This is an emotional experience. What people want is to know they're special. What people want is to know they're loved. What people want is happy. What people want is to be connected. What people want is to know they matter. Don't you hear all the emotion there? They want to belong. They want to fit in. And so we got to keep it simple. You know why? Because the number one weapon formed against us is confusion. Instead of making a list of 27 things to do, or 12 steps to do this, or 8 habits, what if you created 3? Because the number one weapon formed against us is confusion. So as we create our dreams into the new year, we've got to keep it simple, soldier. And so there's only 3 things to become your dreams. You got to want it, create it, and live it. And want it's about desire. See, you never approach the throne of your goals without desire. That's what the first step's about. Be emotionally connected. What's in it for you? Emotions move people. The word means to move, right? What's someone's motive for doing what they did? In other words, what caused them to move? What kind of motor do you got in that car? In other words, what's making that car move that way? And emotions move people. And so we got to get emotionally involved with our cause. I'm going to say it and say it over and over and over. If you're not emotionally involved with your life, then who can be? Turn that heart on. It is your power source. It is where passion comes from. It is where we have resilience. And once you know what you want, then you got to create it. And then the third step to become your dreams is live it. Because if you're not emotionally attached to something, you don't care. But when you are emotionally attached to something, guess what? You do care. And we are emotive creatures. Our brain is sensory based. Emotions move us. A strong man is not afraid of their emotions. Whatever our outcome is, whatever our resolution is, we've got to make sure it's something we want. What do you want so bad you're willing to risk looking like a fool? What do you want so bad you're willing to give all you got? What do you want so bad you're willing to do things that other people think are weird, crazy, or out of line? I teach goals. I've taught goal setting, goal accomplishing for over 30 years. There are six elements of a well-formed outcome. In other words, six things that need to be set up for our goal to be properly formed. And when our goal is properly formed, then we can accomplish the outcome better. Number one, state your goal positively. State what you want, not what you don't want. State it positively. And then the second element of a well-formed outcome is put your goal in context. Where, when, with whom do you want this outcome? What you see, hear, and feel inside as you consider will create emotion. By adding this emotion, it'll increase your motivation, commitment. That's what makes it real. The third element of a well-formed outcome is express your goal specific sensory terms. You've got to begin with the end of what does it look like, what does it sound like, what does it feel like? And number four, evaluate honestly the effects of achieving your goal. Will you lose anything that you now have and want to keep? I helped some guy quit smoking. He struggled with smoking all his life. What we came down to was this. At the end of his work day, he and his wife would recount their day. They'd sit out on a balcony on a golf course in Arizona, and they would have a glass of wine, and they would smoke. And so when he attempted to quit smoking at a deep, unconscious level, there was a fear that it would damage his relationship with his wife. And because of that, he struggled getting rid of smoking. So fourth step of a properly formed outcome is evaluate honestly the effects of achieving your goal. Or number five, choose a worthwhile goal. It says, finally, your goal should feel worthwhile to you. It doesn't matter if it's to others or not. You need to identify the positive consequences of your outcome. Don't you hear it? Being emotionally involved with it. And number six of the six outcomes, six elements of a well-formed outcome. Number six, choose a goal that you can fulfill yourself. It needs to be in control. Now, we improperly set goals all the time. At work, we have to set goals all the time that are dependent on other people. It's a job. It's what you have to do. But in order for a goal to be properly formed, it must be within the realm of your control because you're the only one you control. It doesn't require anybody else's buy-in. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And this year, as you accomplish your new goals, your resolutions, your assertions, your commitments, you've got to make sure you're emotionally involved. Because if you're not emotionally involved, then when things struggle, and they will, you'll quit. If you're not emotionally involved when you stumble, and you will, you'll quit. When you're not emotionally involved, if you have a setback and other people mock you, and they will, you'll quit. So get emotionally involved. What do you want? What do you want so bad that you're willing to risk looking like a fool? What do you want so bad that you're willing to be uncomfortable? What do you want so bad that you're no longer willing to do A? What do you want so bad that you're no longer unwilling to do B? See, it comes down to who you're going to be this year. Are you going to be the same you that you were last year? Or are you going to be a different you? Which brings us to the second thing. The second thing we want to do to accomplish our goals and our dreams is to prepare ourselves for success. In other words, we've got to set up our environment. And when scientists analyze people who appear to have tremendous self-control, you ready for this? It turns out those individuals aren't all that different from those who are struggling. What's the difference? The difference, you know, we call it discipline. The difference is, quote, disciplined people are better at structuring their environment. That's what happened. They set themselves up to succeed. They structured their lives in a way that does not require heroic willpower or self-control. They spend less time in tempting situations. Why? They prepare themselves for success. They get their environment ready. The people with the best self-control are typically the ones who need to use it the least. It's easier to practice self-restraint when you don't have to use it all the time. Yes, perseverance, grit, willpower, fortitude, all those are essential to success, but you got to get yourself some help. You can improve on these qualities. And not by wishing you were more of a disciplined person, but by creating an environment that sets you up to succeed. All habits proceed through these stages in the same order. There's a cue. There's a craving. There's a response. There's a reward. You can say that over and over. That's how you do stuff or don't do stuff. Cue, craving, response, reward. Cue, craving, response, reward. This four-step process, pattern, whatever you want to call it, it is the structure of every single habit. It's the autopilot. It's the track that our brain runs on the same way over and over and over. So in summary, remember this. The cue triggers a craving, right? Something you see, hear, feel, smell, right? So notice the environment, which motivates a response. Again, notice the environment, which provides a reward. Again, notice the environment, which satisfies the craving. See, together, these four steps, they form a feedback loop, and it ultimately allows us to create automatic habits. So knowing this information allows you to set it up to reinforce something that's good and allows you to get rid of something that's not good. And so we got to remember, this is how our brain works. Our brain's wired to win, whatever you program it to. So we're going about our life, and our nervous system is continuously monitoring which actions satisfy our desires, because it's all about neuroassociative conditioning, right? There are two driving forces in life. We're either moving towards something we desire or moving away from something we don't desire. It's pain and pleasure. You're moving towards something you want or you're moving away from something you don't want. It's the carrot and the stick. Feelings of pleasure and disappointment are part of the feedback loop. It helps our brain distinguish useful actions from useless ones. Rewards close the feedback loop, complete the habit cycle. In other words, what's in it for me? What's the reward? What's the payoff? If a behavior is insufficient in any of the four stages, this is what you got to do to change something. It will not become a habit. So again, this is where it goes in the environment. Eliminate from the environment the cue and your habit will never start. Eliminate from the environment the craving and you won't experience enough motivation to act. And if you change the environment to where you make the behavior difficult, you won't be able to do it. Do you see how you adjust the environment? If the reward fails to satisfy your desire, this is at the unconscious level what's happening. Then you'll have no reason to do it. You take away the reward. Don't you get it? The first three steps allow for a behavior to really take off. And so without the first three steps, a behavior will not occur. And without all four, a behavior will not be repeated. This is why the environment is so important. Rewards are the end goal of every habit. And if you remove the reward or you put a negative connotation to the reward, you take away the unconscious motivation. See, the cue is about noticing the reward. The craving is about wanting the reward. The response is about obtaining the reward. James Clear put it this way: your mind is continuously analyzing your internal and external environment for hints of where rewards are located. The cue is the first indication that we're close to reward. It naturally leads to a craving. So this is why it's so critical to set up our environment to be successful. If we want to encourage a good habit, the key is creating the environment that can support the habit, that repeat activity, that unconscious norm. So how do you create a good habit? It's the environment, right? First law is you get a cue. Make it obvious. Set up the environment so you can clearly see a good cue that's going to trigger the good response. The second thing is the craving. Make the craving. Make what you desire from this cue really rewarding, something you really desire that's going to move you ahead. The third thing is your response. You've got to set up the environment to make it easy to respond in a way that's positive. And the last thing, the reward, make it satisfying. This is why you got to control the environment. By the way, the environment I'm talking about is not just your house, not just your workplace, not just your bedroom. But one of the most critical environments is the mind. And so if you want to change your life, we've got to change our thinking. It always goes down to thinking. So that's how you create a good habit in your environment. Now, conversely, if we're focused on changing a habit, changing a behavior, changing an automatic response, again, we've got to use the environment. Now that we're emotionally involved, we've got to use the environment that is conducive to that change or is not congruent with maintaining the old pattern, the old existing status quo. So it's just the opposite. How do you break a bad habit? How do you stop a behavior that you've unconsciously started doing now? Well, it's just the inversion of the first four pieces. So now, as Clear says, you just invert the four laws. So the inversion of the first law, cue, make it invisible. Get rid of the cue from your environment. The second law, craving. Again, set up your environment to make the craving unattractive. The third law is response. Set up your environment to make it difficult to respond. And the fourth law, reward. Make the reward unsatisfying, painful maybe, not joyful. You will not work automatically to accomplish things like that. We all wear a hat. WIIFM, what's in it for me? The four laws of behavior change apply to nearly every field. I don't care what you're talking about. And these are laws. No matter what challenge we're facing, these are ways to make it simpler. Keep it simple, soldier. So again, whenever you want to change your behavior, hit the environment. You got to ask yourself, how can I make my cue obvious or less obvious, affect the environment? How can I make the craving attractive or unattractive? Affect the environment. How can I make it easy to respond or very difficult to respond? Affect the environment. And how can I make the reward satisfying or unpleasant, unfulfilling? Again, it's more than motivation. We've got to create an environment that allows us to be healthy. I think it was Clear who said, environment is an invisible hand that shapes human behavior. So if you truly want to change your life, you've got to change your environment. The third step is to make it real. I always question people, would you give your life for a lie? Let's be honest, most people wouldn't give it for the truth. See, when I'm in my classes, I do intensive leadership training. I clean up that which is holding us back, resuscitate the heart, and bring clarity to the mind, which allows a warrior to function at a higher level. Give me 48 hours and I'll give you a new way to think. Give me 48 hours and I'll resuscitate your heart. Give me 48 hours and I'll get you on fire for your life. But it's intense. And I'll have people look at me and said, I want you to look at me. And I'll ask the question, am I real? And they'll like snicker, but yes. And then I'll ask this question, how do you know? What's the evidence for me being real? And then they'll say, well, I can see you. I can touch you. I can hear you. I can feel you, and you probably smell okay. See, that's the key. You've got to make it real. And when we make something real, it requires emotional involvement. You've got to act as if that things depend on it. You see, we have this thing called experience, and the only way we can codify experience is through the five senses. Our experience has five portals of entry. It's the senses. Olfactory, gustatory, visual, auditory, kinesthetic. What we're seeing, what we're hearing, what we're feeling tactilely and emotionally, and what we're smelling and what we're tasting. Every single memory that you have can only be codified in one or all the five senses. There is no other way. And things that are real are things we can see. Things that are real are things we can touch. Things that are real are things we can hear. Things that are real are things we can smell. Things that are real are things we can taste. And so we got to make our dreams real. Step number three is to begin with the end in mind. Know the outcome you want to achieve in your projects and interactions and indeed in your life. You got to make it real. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? I think it was the Irish Journal of Science about 4 years ago came out with a research that said 40% of first-term memories are made up. See, your unconscious mind does not differentiate between Hollywood and reality. There are a lot of things stored in our unconscious mind that could be dreams. They could be lies that you told yourself over and over that now you believe you don't remember. It was 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, and you've told the story so many different ways that you don't know what to believe. There are stories and things I've shared in my training for over 30 years that I couldn't tell you where I got that information. I might even have a hard time proving it was real. But somewhere I got it, I studied it, and I made it part of my repertoire, and it's still there. And so you got to remember, that's how we work. And so we got to get emotionally involved. We got to make it real. See, when we make something real, that's what beginning with the end of mind is. You go to the very end. The reason why most people don't accomplish goals is the same reason people buy and sell real estate. Location, location, location. The reason why most people don't accomplish their goals is because they start in the here and now. There's very little emotional involvement, and they get a disappointment, a setback, ridiculed, and they stop. They fall down. And because they're not emotionally involved, and because they didn't begin with the end in mind, and because they didn't set up their environment in a way that supports them, then they wait till next year or December to set some new goals. You don't need to do that. Get emotionally involved. Set up your environment to succeed and make it real. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? And then that memory, that visualization will be stored in your unconscious brain. See, your unconscious brain does not differentiate between Hollywood and reality. Any picture you put in your mind's eye, your subconscious mind treats as if. And so it's easy. Get emotionally involved. It's your life. If you can't be emotionally involved, who can? Use your environment. Set yourself up to succeed. Manipulate your environment. Make it easy to change and make it hard to stay the same. And then you got to know what's going to look like, what's going to sound like, what's going to feel like when you accomplish it. Otherwise, how will you know? We got to remember, we've been made to succeed, that we got this. We are made to win. Once you understand yourself a little bit better, then you can put yourself in a position to be all you were ever created to be. For that is the way of warrior, living your life like it matters, because it does.